The message today is the greatest announcement of all time. There are lots of great announcements. You know, it's great when someone announces that a baby's born. Or they announce that your friends are getting married. The announcement that we're having a Christmas luncheon today. Announcement that President Trump was elected in 2016. Those are all good announcements, right? But nothing like the announcement that the angel Gabriel made to Mary. Personally, in person, God sent an angel to her in person to let her know that she would have the incredible honor and privilege of carrying the Son of God in her womb and giving birth to the Son of God. But the angel also went to Joseph in a dream, though. So twice it was announced the birth of Jesus. So we're going to look at both of those today. The announcement given by the angel Gabriel in person to Mary and also to Joseph in a dream about the incarnation was so great and powerful that it would transform the world forever. Amen? And it is. It has started transforming the world, and it will transform the world forever. Throughout the ages, prophecies were given that one day the Savior of the world would be born to save his people from what? From their sins. He came to save us from our sins because it was through sin and the works of the evil one, the death, destruction, evil, and darkness, and every type of wickedness covered the earth. Up until the day of this announcement of the birth of the Son of God and man, the whole world laid in sin and error, crying out for a Savior to deliver them from the bondage that came upon all of us as the result of our first ancestor listening to the devil and rebelling against the law of God. But not only were we surrounded by death, darkness, and destruction, but we were separated. The most devastating part is that we were separated from Almighty God, from our Creator, who created us to be in fellowship with him. We were separated from him with no way of ever being reconciled back to him. No way of getting back into relationship with him. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of salvation, that he wanted to save us. He loved us so much he was going to save us and make a way for us to come back to him. And when the time had come, the Bible calls it a Kairos moment. That Kairos moment came forth, and God sent the angel, Gabriel, to announce that it was time for the promised Savior and Lord of the world that was spoken of in these prophecies to enter the world and fulfill all that is written in the Scriptures about him. So let's look at a few of these Old Testament prophecies and see what they tell us about the mission of our Savior and Lord King Jesus. Starting with the very first prophecy ever given about our salvation and about the Lord Jesus coming to earth. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who's giving this prophecy? Father God himself. I love this. God himself gives this prophecy to Satan, the old serpent himself. What's God telling him? He's telling him one day the Messiah, the eminent seed of the woman, will crush your head. That means he will destroy you and all your principalities and powers. He's going to break and confuse all your schemes and ruin all your works. He's going to crush your whole empire, strip you of your authority and your sovereignty, and particularly the power you have over death and your oppression over the bodies and souls of men. And all of this was fulfilled by Jesus Christ when he came. When he became incarnate and suffered and died and rose again from the grave. I love Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It tells us, when the fullness of time had come, when the right time finally came, God sent his own son. He came as the son of a human mother and lived under the Jewish law. Why? To redeem those who were under the law so that we might become God's children. Hallelujah. Did he crush Satan's head? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says. Talking about the incarnation. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Since the children, that's what Jesus calls us, as he calls them, are people of flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the incarnation. He did this so that through his death he might destroy who? The devil. The works of the devil. Who had the power over death. And in this way set free those who were slaves all their lives because of the fear of death. We no longer fear death. We no longer fear the grave. Why? Because we know Jesus has conquered sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. John, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Genesis 3:15, fulfilled. Amen? The prophecy, the prophetic word that God gave in Genesis 3:15 has been fulfilled through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has crushed the head, the authority. Crush the entire empire of the devil. Hallelujah. The next prophecy that we're going to look at tells us that Jesus would be born a king of the line of David. Aren't you glad that when God, our covenant God, makes a covenant promise that he always fulfills his covenant, always fulfills his promises? That's what covenant means. He will always fulfill every single promise that he's ever made to us. And that's what he did with David. This prophecy tells us Jesus would be born a king of the line of David and win incredible victories for his people and his kingdom that would last for only a year. Forever. Everything that he has done for us is eternal. It lasts forever. I love this prophecy. We're going to look at Isaiah 9. And when we look at Isaiah 9 during this season, we usually only focus on verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. Which, those are the great verses, and that's what talks about him being from the line of David. But you know what? Those first five verses are packed with powerful descriptions of the mission of the Messiah. And we can apply those things to ourselves for what he did for us. It's a promise to Israel, but we can apply these promises spiritually to ourselves. Let's look at what it says. Isaiah 9, starting in verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. Gloom is not going to be upon you if you're distressed or depressed. Should not be upon you because Jesus has destroyed that. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Listen to this promise. This is what we learned last week. This is the verse that when Zechariah started prophesying, he prophesied from this chapter right here when he started prophesying about Jesus. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Oh my gosh. Thank God he has shined his light, his love, his life upon us. We were in darkness and death. No more. Hallelujah. This has been fulfilled. Now listen, it keeps going. It just keeps going and going. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. Is your joy continuing to increase? Should be. About the Lord, especially about this, about his coming to earth. The incredible plan of salvation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our joy should, every time we read these passages, we should our joy should just continue to just go right through the roof. That's why the songs, all the songwriters, all the hymn writers, all the carol writers, all the songs, they're just filled with that. Look, death, darkness, sin, sorrow, that's all over with. It's time to rejoice. It's time to be joyful. Amen? That's awesome. How much should we rejoice? We should rejoice in your presence just like they do at harvest time, he says. It will be like the joy when people take their share of things that they have won in war. Listen to this. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff off his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. I don't know if you know it or not, but the yoke has been broken off of you. The anointing of the Jesus Christ has broken the yoke off of you. We know we always say the anointing breaks the yoke, yeah. Right? Well, if the anointed one lives in you, then every yoke should be broken off of you. You ever think about that? Yeah. You put those two verses, put that together, and the Lord will bless you with that. He's broken the yoke of our burdens, the staff off of our shoulder. Look, all the weights, all the heaviness off our shoulder, he's taken. He has broken the rod of the oppressor. In the natural, and especially in the spiritual, as in the day of Midian. I love this. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Peace, peace. He's talking about peace there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A more modern version quotes the last statement like this. The strong love that the Lord all-powerful has for his people will make this happen. Don't you like that version? I love that. That's what it means. The zeal of the Lord. When he says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, it's the strong love of the Lord all-powerful. He will make it happen, and no one can stop it from happening. Amen. So this is exactly this what the angel Gabriel announces to Mary about her supernatural son Jesus, whom she will give birth to in the near future. You can turn to Luke now, Luke chapter 1. The most incredible, the greatest announcement of all time. Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Let me just stop real quick and say that I don't know if you know this, but this word applies to each and every one of you. Each and every one of us who have put their faith in Jesus. Amen? We are highly favored, right? The Lord is with us. He lives in us now. And we are blessed among all people. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7 are about to be fulfilled through Jesus, the Messiah. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And that's what we, when the Lord speaks a word to us and the Holy Spirit reveals, gives us insight and illumination from the word of God, that's what we need to say in faith all the time. "Let it be to me according to your word, Lord." Amen? The next prophecy tells us that God would come to earth to be with us forever through a supernatural miracle by being born of a virgin as the Holy Spirit came upon her and put the baby Jesus in her womb. Isaiah 7:14 we're all very familiar with. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is exactly what the angel tells Joseph through a dream. As he's contemplating divorcing Mary secretly, so she isn't shamed and possibly stoned for what others would have perceived as her infidelity to Joseph and her breaking her vows to God. Look at Matthew. This is in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Starting in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary for your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" Notice that the scripture is fulfilled. And I'm not sure if it's the angel telling Joseph that last verse, that the angel actually uses that where he says all this is done that it might be fulfilled. I'm assuming that that's the angel still speaking to Joseph there. Or if it's the writer, I'm not sure. But I'm assuming that it's the angel. But notice how the angel used scripture to help Joseph with his faith. Because no matter what, that would still be a hard thing to swallow, right? I mean, come on. We just kind of blow over it and think of it, don't think of it in the natural, but, you know, if you think of the whole scenario, you're a young man and a young woman, and you're engaged, and all of a sudden you haven't gotten married, you haven't been with your wife, and she's pregnant, it's going to be some trauma there. right? It's going to be some serious trauma and some serious heart-wrenching. And I mean, he was probably, I'm sure he was crushed in the natural. I'm sure he was crushed. And how hard it would have been for Mary to come and tell him, you know. You just think about that in the natural, what's going on there. Thank God for the supernatural, that he would send his angels to speak to them. But they both would have been familiar with all of these verses. They both would have been familiar with the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And that's why they were able, I believe, to use their faith and receive the words that the Lord had given them. So thank God that when it was just the right time, the greatest announcement of all time was delivered to Mary and Joseph by the angel Gabriel. And thank God for the faith and obedience of Joseph and Mary to believe that with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? I mean, what a tremendous job they did. I mean, like I said, if you really take time to just think about it, and there's been some pretty good movies written about it, what they would have really had to gone through emotionally and physically. You know, they would have, first of all, Joseph would have had to take a serious stand against the Jewish, his neighbors and the Jewish culture. They would have probably shunned them, most of them, probably might not even let them in the synagogue anymore because they would still have all, what do you mean, the Holy Spirit? I mean, imagine them having to tell that to the Jewish culture, right, Judith? It would have, they would have thought they were crazy, absolutely. And they would have had a really, really hard time all the way up through 9 months till the time she delivered and gave birth to Jesus. It would have been just a tremendous battle for them to go through. But thank God for their obedience, their faith and their obedience and believing. Let me tell you, they would have had to have that word in their heart all the time. They probably kept saying it over and over and over again as they were going through this for 9 months. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Can you just imagine that? They would have had to just hold on to that one verse from the Lord. And sometimes I'm sure we need to hold on to that. And we've all used that. Or, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One or the other. They're both the same. So, oh, how we need to praise Father God, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for this awesome plan of redemption that they came up with to save us from all our enemies and to reconcile us back to Him. Oh, how we need to thank Him for having the power to fulfill His plan of salvation that was spoken by the Lord through the prophets throughout the ages. Jesus Himself became like us and shared our human nature. He did this so that through His death, He might destroy the devil who had the power of death. Remember, Jesus has crushed the devil's head. He's destroyed him and all his principalities and powers. He's broken all his scheme, ruined all his works. He's crushed the devil's whole empire. The devil does not have any power over you if you are a child of God. Amen? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy all the works of the devil. And He has done them. Hallelujah. Father God has done all that He promised to do for us through His Son Jesus. He has redeemed us, made us His children, forgiven our sins, given us eternal life in His eternal kingdom, where the increase of His government and peace will have no end. The strong love that the Lord all-powerful has for all of us has made this happen, and He will continue to make it happen in our lives. So as the old Christmas hymn goes, O Holy Night, the end part of it. So let all that is within us praise His holy name. Because Christ Jesus is Lord, so praise His name forever. His power and glory we will forevermore proclaim to the whole world, for he is worthy. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you and praise you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you so much for your incredible plan of salvation. We thank you for accomplishing it. We thank you for the power that you've given us. We thank you that you have destroyed the works of the devil, that you have destroyed the work of sin, that we have power over sin, over the devil, over the flesh, and we have power over the grave now because of you, because of your victory, Lord. We share in your victory. We share in your righteousness. We share in your peace, and we thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and filling us and making us new creations in you, Lord. You are so awesome and so wonderful, and we give you praise, and we proclaim your power and your glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.